You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, back in 2018 with our first episode of Elevate for the year. It's been a fast-paced start to the new year with moves and changes all around the industry, including a significant one in Perth with the Altitude Real Estate team joining the very successful Realmark Group. The two directors of the group, John Percadani of Realmark and Paul Tonich of Altitude Real Estate, say the combined agencies will offer their clients a more efficient and effective way to buy, sell, lease, manage and finance property, plus it's a strategic move that enables them both to effectively upscale their operations, better serve their clients and provide better career development opportunities for their employees. And I'm delighted to have John and Paul as our special guests today. So a warm welcome to you both, John and Paul.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you, Sam.
So you both started off 2018 in a pretty exciting way in joining forces. So Altitude Real Estate are now part of the Realmark Group. So tell us a bit more, both of you, on how you saw the strategic fit between two companies and how you came together.
Well, certainly within the WA context, there's been a big change in not only the market, but there's also great change in the industry driven by those market conditions. So the WA market, obviously off the back of a very buoyant previous economic period in our history, has been a lot of structural change, and that's now plateauing out, and we're seeing the consequences of that. One of the big things that we can identify is that there's an increasing aggregation of real estate business being done by less agents and less agencies. And to have that momentum in the marketplace and that gravitas, you really have to bulk up the businesses to be able to have that presence in the marketplace and provide the support facilities for the people within the business. So, you know, certainly Realmark has a lot of process and collateral and brand presence, and the Altitude business has similar things, but really adding them together, really 1 + 1 = 5 going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. There is definitely strength in numbers, right?
Yeah, it's more than just numbers. It's really the intellectual property that we bring together. No doubt you'll speak about Paul's prowess in the social media forum. But, you know, the methodology of networking across multiple markets that his business unit has is certainly something to be greatly admired. Conversely, I suppose our approach to being very pace-setting in the marketing side, the technology side, and also the methodology of sales side means that we really have a big focus on how to run a very clean, efficient business model, not only in property management, also in relation to sales.
Given that, what everyone's setting goals at the moment, you can sort of hear people sort of saying, you know, my goals for 2018 are dot, dot, dot. What would you say, John, first, what are your goals for 2018?
We're certainly taking a very gingerly approach to the business. We're looking beyond the current year. You know, we see that the WA market is going to continue to consolidate in 2018, and we're very focused on the better times that we believe will be here in 2019 and beyond. So we're very focused on what do we need to do today to consolidate the position for ourselves and our associates, not just on the horizon that we can see, but beyond the horizon, and really trying to anticipate, be it the technology change, the client expectation change, the market change, what do we need to really be focused on to make sure that we're well positioned for that opportunity?
And what about you, Paul? What are your goals for 2018?
If I said I've done something smart or done something well over the years, which has always positioned me ahead of what the market conditions are going to be, it's always been able to read where the consumer wants the industry to go. My decision early in the year last year was to try and see if we're ready for that. I can see big changes in the industry this year. I've seen training and been involved in a lot of other groups. I probably have the privilege of being able to read the play a bit quicker in Perth with the expectations of a slow market getting busier. We're going to see a lot of good agents looking at joining forces. The industry over here, because of the economic climate, has shrunk dramatically. If we were to call it dead wood or non-producing agents, individual boutique agencies just can't afford to hold those type of people anymore. But at the same time, they face the danger of losing cash flow. So everyone is questioning their business models. Everyone is questioning how sustainable they're going to be. We've gone through 4 to 5 years of the grind, which maybe the East Coast is about to enter. So we have a clear understanding of how to deal with that. And with that understanding, with that hurt comes sometimes knowledge with the pain. We're seeing that my prediction is going to be that the EBUs are going to become the only option that agents have going forward. The ability to enter the industry is going to be through the guidance of really well settled and stable, sustainable agents who can bring on talent and actually show them how to navigate through this market and upskill them. The consumer is expecting you to bring a buyer to their property that maybe wasn't looking, not just put a sign at the front and wait for the market to do its job, because the market has no job anymore. The job's now the job of the agent and what they can bring to the table when they meet with a client. And that's why the whole digital presence, the reach, the ability to turn a viewer into a buyer is critical. That person may have woken up that morning and was just a viewer, and by, you know, 8 o'clock that night, they're a buyer and they weren't when they went to bed. And that's because we can put homes in front of people like never before. If we were not to take advantage of that, we would be really just a slave to what the market throws at us. And unfortunately, some agencies can't see that. We maybe pride ourselves on having that ability now because of smart moves in relation to technology, databasing, and the way we deal with buyers to bring a goodwill to the table where possibly owners used to say, you know, why do we pay you your fee? I've never actually felt more comfortable than right now to be able to justify my fee 100%.
I think it's really interesting that you're saying that. So it's not about what the market is doing anymore for you guys. It is about what you're doing in your market.
100%.
I think the key thing in WA is that the very challenging trading conditions that we've been through now, Paul, for a number of years have really been a very sobering effect, that it really makes you come back and reassess everything that you're doing and making sure that it really does have value. And it's all about how do we go about making the complex simple, and how do we make it resonate not only within the business but with the consumer.
And so, Paul, you also said that it was important to you to stay ahead of where the consumer wants the industry to go. Where do you believe the consumer wants the industry to go in 2018 and beyond?
The consumer is fed up with the market, so they don't want their campaign to be decided on what the market decides. They want the agent to be able to actually produce the result and be able to, you know, create something without just actually putting the sign out, you know. And the reality is a lot of people say the word cutting edge, the word market share, the word that they're so empty now, because the consumer can get on the computer, they can have a look at the results, they can judge your performance. And so those lies or that propaganda that someone can get away with maybe 10 years ago is now gone. It really is based on what have you got. I know, you know, today in our areas, we can put a property in the marketplace in front of real buyers in real time within 10 minutes from leaving the home and meeting the owner for the first time. Unless you can do that now and you can play the market instead of the market actually playing the game, you're going to be found to be redundant quite quickly.
If we were to sort of apply that sort of thinking to the markets, we're kind of seeing a bit of softening at the moment, particularly on the East Coast, like Sydney and things like that. To what extent do you see that is going to be necessary over here, like in terms of actually creating the activity rather than letting the market drive the activity? What tips can you offer agents over here that haven't experienced a softer market?
If you're going to make one thing that you own as being a chief skill in that office, and everyone admired you for that, is the ability to make owners understand. Making someone understand and having great stories that in a way allow an owner to buy in, that we actually own the responsibility personally to not let them make mistakes at a critical time when they can now sell their home, albeit they feel like it's less. 6 months later, they ring you and say, thank you for convincing us. Thank you for having the ability to actually make us make a good decision. So that ability to actually, with confidence, deliver a message that maybe not pretty, but truthful to an owner is going to be a skill that actually you look back in a year and the owner will be grateful with your maturity and the way that you handled those conversations.
the experience that we've certainly achieved in WA, which other markets will obviously feel the brunt of. Maybe it's been more dramatic in WA because the fact that we had a once-in-a-generation economic conditions here, and therefore the contrast has been so dramatic. So we've had to learn very fast. It's very much about being both a smart agent and a humane agent. So clients definitely understand that you're not just going to be the order taker that the market delivers, that you actually now have to bring, as Paul suggested, really specialist skills to the game. So you have to be a very well-equipped, well-informed, smart agent, but you have to have the humanity to really have empathy with them and understand not only their aspirations, but the fact that their aspirations may not necessarily be fulfilled in the changing market conditions. And some people will have to make decisions from an investment point of view, a buying point of view, a selling point of view, that may not necessarily be as comfortable that they would like to be. And as Paul said, being able to give them the transparency and the honesty so they can make an informed decision for themselves is a fundamental shift in the game.
Just one other question there, Paul. You did mention when we were talking about the market tightening and things like that, what do you think the ideal EBU looks like in 2018?
Yeah, I think it's going to be specific skills, specific roles. We have to do, as say the leading agent, you have to be doing the critical things that need to be done without the back end of the business falling off. People want to be serviced the whole way through. They don't want that to drop off. In any EBU, the one thing that I think clearly stands out in a good one and is missing in maybe a bad one is that the energy level is not consistent through all staff members. So if you've got a high energy, high profile agent, every cog in that wheel has to be high profile, high energy, high systems. Everything has to match. I think you've got to be able to have the ability to upskill talented people instead of just looking what's in the marketplace. And that means bringing in talent and taking the time to train them. One of the big things that attracted me to the Real Mark brand was that the training is extensive, it's vast, and it's not just the top of the service, top of the, just the, you know, top level, let's get a speaker in. There are actually programs that allow everyone in that EBU to just target their skill levels and increase that continually. Upskilling the whole team, albeit from the front door to the back door, is going to be a real crusade for every agency. And if you're not doing that, the consumer just won't feel that energy. They won't be attracted. When you join an EBU to engage your property, you expect the whole process will be the same all the way through because of the integrity of the brand and how it stands in the marketplace and just who they wouldn't employ as well as who they do employ.
It's interesting that you say that because we're definitely seeing a trend, I guess, across the board that the days of the rockstar agent kind of thing are declining. So, you know, like people are being much smarter about how they spread that workload over the EBU.
Yeah, and, you know, if it's just the final inspection that person does, he has to be the rock star of final inspections. If it's they handle the marketing in that BU, they'll be the rock star of in the industry of the marketing of homes. Everyone has to own their role. And when you put that together, yeah, the home gets some magic. And that's something that, you know, you can never do as an individual anymore. So, you know, the talent that will be attracted to the real estate industry will come from other great industries that have produced and upskilled people, and we'll be trying to introduce talent from other areas continually. And that will be our goal in 2018, is identifying people that are just going to bring something to the table that other agencies haven't got. Not the same old who's floating in the industry, and can we persuade them to come across? We're geared to upskill people, so we can pull from a bigger group of talented people than just our own industry.
Speaking of rock stars, Paul, you are one of the rock stars of social media in the industry and have been for quite some time. You've actually coached agents in the past on how to better use Facebook to generate leads and all that sort of thing. And Facebook's been in the news a lot lately in terms of, well, number one, Mark Zuckerberg made that announcement that said pages are going to be less and less and family and friends are going to be more. And also, you know, Facebook have been making some moves into the real estate space. So first of all, let's talk about Facebook pages, because there's a lot of real estate agents out there that have got Facebook pages. How do you think these changes will impact them, and what should they do to stay top of mind when, you know, as we've already talked about, that the whole digital thing and being in front of the consumer is going to be so important?
If you've got a page and you've got a lot of followers, the followers are definitely not going to sit there and drive your business. That's in a nutshell. But why is it important to have a number of followers? Like anything, like if you're going to go and watch a how-to video on YouTube, you're automatically attracted to the one that's being watched the most. Would that be fair to say? So all the amount of followers you got on your page is just going to give you some credibility, but zero reach. And then at the end of the day, credibility is important, but reach is what actually produces income. How do you get that reach? Like any other forum, you're going to have to upskill yourself and have an understanding of how reach is important in a campaign and deliver that to an owner. My owners all pay minimum of $500 per campaign, but some of my campaigns are usually $1,500 for their boost, and they're highly targeted to the demographic, to who needs to see it. So we're not spamming our ads. Our ads will hit school catchment areas. They'll hit the right people at the right time, and they're targeted. What does that mean? That means that I have to upskill myself in my knowledge of how that works and become really a professional marketer, knows how to use a blank page in a newspaper, knows how to put a campaign on radio or TV. And this is just another medium that they have to understand. It's not a choice anymore. It's not, will it work? It's, if I'm offering that and you're not to a consumer, if you're going to attract young talent in this industry, you have to show that you understand the digital world, not just Facebook. The pages are going to be important in it showing, do you understand social media or not? So if you've got a page and they search it and you've done nothing on it, you can't go and sell that to an owner because they know it's non-existent. So the propaganda, the lies are gone. The proof will be them going on their page and having a look or constantly getting your ads, and that's why they're attracted to you.
In America, I think it was probably about 6 months ago, there was somebody from Facebook at Inman and they announced a real estate advertising product. Have you had a chance to have a look into that at all?
Yeah, I have. I get an incredible amount of business from Facebook, but I'm openly going to say my best business comes from my Paul Tonich personal page that advertises no homes for sale. That alone are relationships that have been worked. I'm not a voyeur. I don't sit back and watch everyone else's life and not comment. I engage daily with all and many different types of people in my field of influence. I grow that field of influence daily as a focus point of my day to be conducted. I open up that field to more markets and I participate in that community, not just watch that community. That participation means that they have an understanding who I am and their friends do as well. And then that funnels through to my business page.
Years ago with Facebook, it was a 10-to-1 ratio. For every post you make, you would have to like someone else's post or comment on someone else's post. And now that's considered liking is lurking and you don't want to be a drive-by liker. You actually want to comment to let them know that you're actually engaging with them. Are you thinking that's a must-do now as well?
If you've done a really good job on a property, the owners would consider you not just their agent, but they start to become friends. Would that be fair to say? And all agents would agree that you build a relationship with them. If you can take your relationship during that sales process to the point where they're happy to then join your friendship circle on your personal page, you won't miss a life event forever. You won't miss their birthdays. You won't miss their kids winning their sports carnivals. You won't miss anything. And besides sending them a monthly Springer Sprung letter once a year or a Christmas card, you've engaged with them all year. They're not going anywhere. So to start with, can you take your relationships that you have in business to a personal level where you feel safe because of the way you conduct yourself publicly to have them in your personal circle? And that's not for everyone, but for the agent that wants to do that, you're going to become personal long-term friends with them in an engagement process which we've never seen before. If you do a letterbox drop, you want engagement. You do an ad on TV, you want engagement. If you do Facebook, if you're not getting engagement, you're not in the game.
One thing I would notice about, or share with you my observations of Paul's activity in that social media sort of thing, is really that most agencies and agents take a ticker box type approach. Oh yeah, I've done something on social media, but that's not what's going to be good enough anymore. So the difference I can see is most people in our industry take a passive approach to it. Paul's taking a real active approach to it and really is actively building those relationships, not just occasionally, on a minute by minute, day by day sort of scenario. And it's a very sincere engagement. And that's the fundamental difference.
With your presence, do you use a page or do you use your personal profile?
I use both in tandem. So I've got my personal profile that I'll never actually advertise properties on. And that's got a substantial amount of followers. Then my business page has about 37,000 followers. And I use that just for properties. And that I use that backed by a campaign of $500 to $1,000 a post. To say organically, if the viewers were to go to my page, you can see this week for Australia Day, I'm giving away a couple of cartons of beer on Australia Day. And it says in there not to share that. There's no share this post. There's no like to enter. It's just nominate a mate. I haven't used the word tag. All this is testing the organic ability of the new laws of Facebook. And to show you, that competition has reached 63,000 people and has 1,300 comments, and I didn't boost it. So there's a competition at a simple prize. The engagement has been phenomenal. There's no asking to tag, share, or like, yet people have liked it, and 1,300 comments and 63,000 people reached. So that's a good example of where Facebook will register that, you know, there's participation by the community.
What sort of things do you think really work on social media right now as posts?
People do love property. If you want to get engagement, you've got to get the right engagement and the right people commenting. And that's that lifestyle properties, and showing lifestyle with properties gets engagement. I'm a fan of both video and photos. I don't think you should do one or the other in isolation. I find videos, some people impatient and won't watch a video all the way through, or want to see a point of a house that passes, they don't like going back. So we mix that around. But I think you've got to be able to get people engaged through, more important than ever, your photographer has to make sure that they have an understanding of what your style is and that they've got a style guide, and you become known for that. And when people call me off Facebook, they go, I want you to do with our property how you made my friend's property look like. If ever there's an opportunity to get an inner circle within a group, friends look at friends' properties on Facebooks. They then love the way you marketed their friend's property, and all they say, can you do what you did with Jane's property? And that's a big one. If you ever want testimonials on Facebook, my tip would be this, is that if you can friend them and you can ask them to write on your personal wall, thank you for using your property. Thank you for selling my property, Paul. And you have those public testimonials, they are gold. They show that that person's inner circle of friends knows that's the agent to use. There's one thing that I could sit here and give you lots of little tips. They are all just little tips. What you've got to have is the skill to be able to do the right things at the right time for the right reasons. And like any form of medium, everything has to be about the consumer, nothing about the agent. They don't care you've sold 8 houses, but they'd like to know that lots of houses are selling, so it's a good time to come on the market, not you've sold 8 and here's a picture of me in the back of my boat or driving around in my Lamborghini. Let's just be honest, it's not easy. So when it's not easy, if you go there, the rest of the industry won't follow you, you're going to have shelf life. So make not easy something that you're chasing. Get the ability to upskill and manage this type of medium. And for owners out there, if they can grasp this, they're going to attract all the young talent in the industry are going to come to work under your brand, because you are actually not just knowing about social media, you are doing it.
So, John, after 30 years in real estate, which is a great time in anyone's book, and Realmark has been a successful brand that has attracted a lot of great young people over the years, I think largely due to you've known as very innovative in the industry, what things are you seeing right now that you think will make a big difference in 2018, and what do you see the future of real estate being?
I think there's a fundamental shift in the actual business model within real estate. And Paul's talked about the changing nature of EBUs becoming more like specialist teams that need to be operating a different way. I think that we're also seeing that expectations from clients are far more specific. It's not about them being too invested in the agent's aspirations. They want the agent to advance their aspirations. And so that whole concept of being a very informed agent and a very empathetic agent is very, very crucial. And really our role, if you like, as the employers or the master brand in the marketplace is, in respect of the agents or the property managers, how do we help them do their job better in terms of their interaction with the client, whether it's the day-to-day phone call that a property manager has to make, all the conversations that a salesperson is going to have with a market in terms of social media. So, you know, there are lots of opportunities there, but ultimately it comes down to how do we use, be it the Internet of Everything, be it the digital matters that you've just spoken to, Paul. How do we help to increase the ability for us to deliver a better service to the client in terms of clearing that property within the optimum time of market? How do we make sure that we actually get a transaction done? And how do we make sure that whether we're renting the property or selling the property, when we're not underselling it in the marketplace? Because that's the biggest number one concern the agent wants. What is the marketing, the process, the information, the interaction that you're going to bring to me as an agent, together with your skills, to ensure we really test the market so that I get the best possible result that I can get in today's marketplace?
I think that's some great advice out there for other agents who might be listening in about what to look for in 2018 and how to set yourself up for success from someone who has been incredibly successful for that long. We might just end with, do either of you have any predictions for 2018?
Yeah, in the Perth market, which again, we've run in total isolation to the rest of Australia, we've probably come out of being very grateful and appreciative of where we're heading right now. It's been a really, really tough year for just everyone here in WA, no matter what industry. So the relief of some light at the end of the tunnel is being welcomed by everyone. So there's a sense of excitement, albeit that doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to go into this massive amount of growth, but people can actually see we're coming out the other end. In one way, we're as agents, we probably sit here looking forward to seeing how the East Coast handles that market, because we've kind of sat back and had to ride the joys of the East Coast with the depression of the West Coast. So we're really excited over here. We've got a lot happening over here now. We've got a lot of things happening in mining again. So I can just see that buyer confidence is going to increase. The whole people being able to actually, you know, get off their hands and actually make a move, knowing that they can sell if they go to market, so they can just move. And I think that the place is just going to be a happier place. Happy is good. You know, when a state is happy, things happen. And I think we're all heading, we've had some sad times, and I think we're heading towards a really happy place. I know personally we're excited because of our merge. We're excited because of the marketplace, and we're really looking forward to 2018 to be something that just a bit of consolidation and heading in the right direction with bigger steps.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us and for sharing your knowledge with us, and all the best with the merger and moving forward into 2018. I'm sure it's going to be a cracker for you guys.
No worries.
Thank you, Sam. Bye-bye.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.